Thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in six different locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Well, good morning once again. Welcome to Our Savior's Church. We are so excited that you're here with us this morning. If I haven't had the opportunity to meet you again, my name is Pastor Jacob LeBlanc, along with my wife. We are the lead pastors of the New Iberia campus, and you joined us on a real special day. You joined us on a day where good things are happening. I don't know what you walked in here today with, but you walked into a room where freedom happens. I don't know what you walked in here with, but you walked into a room where people love each other, not because of anything they believe, but because God has commanded us to do it. God has commanded us to be a light. God's commanded us to be help to hurting people. And see, here at Our Savior's Church, we believe that our purpose is to break down pride, poverty, and prejudice. See, let me share something with you, and I'm not sharing anything that you don't already know. But our community is an indicator of our country right now. Our community is broken. And I believe that God has called us as the church to bring unity to our community through three areas. Through denominational, because let me tell you something, there is denominational separation right now in our community. Oh, well, I'm Catholic, so this is all I can do. Well, I'm Baptist, I'm Assemblies of God, so let me tell you something. God don't care what the sign says above the door. If he can use you to reach your community, it doesn't matter. So I believe God's called us to bring denominational unity, also political unity. I don't care what political party you're affiliated with. I don't care. It doesn't bother me, because for me, ultimately, Jesus is my political party. That's above anything. But also, I believe that God's called us to bring racial unity. Doesn't matter. I'll say this. I believe that the church is supposed to look like heaven. And in heaven, it doesn't matter if you're black, if you're white, if you're red, if you're yellow, it doesn't matter. Everyone is welcome in heaven. Therefore, everyone will be welcome in this building. Yeah. God's called us to do something special. God's hand is on us. And I know it may not seem like we're doing a whole lot right now, but let me tell you something. We are laying the groundwork. There are already schools that are calling us and saying, you know what, if we're going to do something, we're calling OSC first. Yeah. We were a part of something real big. It was a groundbreaking for us this past week. And I'm grateful that the community's reaching out to us and saying, hey, look, we're not going to force ourselves on the community. We're going to shine and let the community see. Yeah. Thank you. Sean always tells me, he says, you know, it's up to us to be a lighthouse. See, because a lighthouse doesn't have to sound any horns. It just shines and people can see. Yeah. That's our job. As this church, we want to be a light to our community. And when they see what God is doing, they'll come to us. But we also want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to make them feel welcome. Yeah. We are this community. It is our responsibility. And we've been in this series called New. We talked about the first week. We talked about new beginnings. We talked about in order to have new beginnings in our lives, sometimes we'll have to release the past, embrace the present, and prepare for the future. Then last week, we talked about new priorities, right? We talked about how our priorities should be God, then our marriage, then our family, then our career, and then everything else. But then we took that a step further and we said, it's not just God and then our marriage, it's God in our marriage. And then it's not just God then our family, but God in our family, God in our career. God doesn't want to just be the first one, he wants to be the only one in your life. And when we insert him into the areas of our life, he puts things in order for us. The job that we have to do becomes real easy when our alignment is correct. And today, we're going to continue on that. And if you remember, our whole theme for this series has been, it doesn't matter where you are in life, you can start fresh. Praise God. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I've just said, you know what? I need a fresh start. I've made some mistakes and people know that. Can I just start fresh? I'll be honest, the most honest conversations that I have with my wife or whenever we're kind of in times of tension, when we're in times of let's just be honest, strife. Can I tell you something? I sometimes have an argument with my wife. Pastor. I do. But the times when I get honest with her and I say, babe, I'm sorry. Can we just start fresh? Everything else in the past, can we just start fresh? Can we just start fresh? This is what God wants for you. I don't know where you are in life, but you are not too old or too young to start fresh. God has a plan. God has a purpose. So this week, we're going to show you how to maintain the new beginnings and the new priorities by establishing new habits. Our lives are dictated by the habits that we keep. I'll say it this way. Successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. From our spiritual habits to our physical habits, even financial and relational habits, they make us or they break us. We become what we do repeatedly. We become that. And I want to tell you a story of a rich man who reached out to an old wise man because his son had bad habits. He tried to get the old wise man to help his son break some of those habits. And the old man asked the son to take a walk with him through the garden. And after taking a few steps, the wise man stopped and asked the young man, pluck a small flower out of the ground. The young man grabbed the plant with his fingers and easily plucked it out. The wise man nodded and they kept walking. A few seconds later, they stopped again and the wise man pointed towards another plant. It was a little bit larger than the last one. The young man grabbed it with his hand and plucked it out of the ground. It took a little bit of effort this time. Now pluck that one out, the wise man said, pointing to a bush. So the young man grabbed the bush by both of his hands, using all of his strength, barely managed to pluck it out. Now you see that small tree right there? Try to pluck that one out. So the young man grabbed the trunk with both hands and pulled as hard as he could, but couldn't move it. It's impossible, master, I can't do it. You see, my boy, it's the same with our habits. If we let them grow and take root, it becomes harder and harder for us to stop them. See, all throughout our day, we behave based on our habits. Some habits are easier to recognize than others, but we have to identify them so that we can deal with them. We can't change what we can't identify. Check out the struggle that Paul had in the New Testament. This story about Paul, it's a couple of short verses in the book of Romans. If you have your Bibles, go and open it up to the book of Romans chapter, make sure I'm in the right area, chapter 7. And we're going to start in verse 15. And I want to share this story about Paul is so relatable. And it's a real quick little passage. But I don't know about you, but I can relate to someone who's had an internal struggle. So I want to read you, starting in chapter 15, and verse 15. And if you don't have your Bible, it's okay. We'll put it up on the board. We're going to kind of jump around a little bit. And this is what Paul says. He says, I don't really understand myself. Hello, I ask myself that question almost every day. I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. Jump down to verse 18. It says, I want to do what's right, but I can't. I want to do what's good, but I don't. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I do it anyway. Jump down to verse 24. It says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. I think the reason good habits don't stick with us is because we forget to include the one that's given us the strength to do anything, because nothing is impossible with our God. We try to put good habits in place, but we forget to include Jesus. Sometimes we want to be better, but we focus on the results instead. In fact, I think there's some practical things that we can see. We can identify some practical reasons why our good habits won't stick. The first one is this: we focus on the what, but we don't understand the why. We focus on the how, But we don't understand the why. I think we all get to the point where we want to adjust some things in our lives. Maybe you want to lose a little bit of weight. Maybe you're in debt and want to get out of debt. Maybe you want to get closer to God. We set goals sometimes and make the mistake of focusing too much on the results. Well, we're focused on the results. We want to have those results. But we have to ask the question, why? See, I went to the doctor this past week, and just for a checkup. My family has a history of high cholesterol. It's kind of genetic. I've been on cholesterol medication since I was about 25 years old. That's something that our family's always dealt with on both my parents' sides. So I knew I probably had to go get that checked. While I was in Missouri, I had done my annual checkup, and my levels were so low, my doctor actually told me, hey, you can actually get off of the cholesterol medicine if you want to. I was like, this is fantastic. And whenever I was living in Missouri, I was eating a little bit healthier. I wasn't under as much stress. In fact, I was eating a lot healthier because up there, you can't find good food. Let's just be honest here. They don't serve boudin and gumbo and Missouri, and if they do, run. I had to make my own. So I was eating a little bit healthier, and I was able to get off the medication. I went back this week, and the doctor told me, hey, it's probably a good idea for you to get back on it. Your levels are quite a bit higher. He actually heard about the transition, and he had met with somebody the day before who had said, yeah, so we got a new pastor. He's doing all this, doing that. The church is doing this. And whenever I sat down with the doctor, he said, I heard about everything's going on. You're probably under a lot of pressure. I said, yes, sir. We've got a lot of things going on. But as we went through the conversation, I started to think, well, the last time I was on medication, I didn't really take care of myself. I'll just be honest. The medication was like, that's fine. I'm on medication just so I don't die at 27. That's not a good enough reason. That's not a good enough reason. I was doing it so that I could see the results, but I didn't understand my why. See, now I'm a little bit older. My kids are a little bit older. I've got a little bit clearer vision of what God has for my life and the impact that I want to make in the community and that I want this church to be. So I've got a different why now. See, my why now is because I want to be able to walk my daughter down the aisle. My why is because I want to be able to see what God's going to do in this community through this church that I believe he's going to use us to do. I want to live long enough to see it fulfilled. I've got a different why now. So in fact, I told the first service that they can keep me accountable with this. But tomorrow I'm actually starting a brand new eating program. And I told the first service that they can keep me accountable to this. If you're not following my Facebook, I suggest you go follow my Facebook because I'm doing something that I want y'all to keep me accountable on. I'm trying over the next 30 days to do 100 push-ups a day. So, and I'm going to post my results on Facebook. I'm gonna do my best, Miss Annie. I'm trying. I need to get healthy, right? I want to be kept accountable because I know there. It's not just about the results. I don't care the way that my body looks. I care about living long enough to be able to see what God's gonna do. Because I've got a clear picture of what God's calling us to do. I want to be there to see my daughter walk down the aisle. I want to walk her. I don't want to be on a walker. I've got a why. I know my why. So instead of focusing on the results, well, I want to lose 5 pounds. I want to lose 30 pounds. No. I know my why. I want to see God do something big, and I want to see it with my own eyes. Know your why. I think another reason we can't stick to the good habits is because we don't see the results fast enough. We don't see progress fast enough. We walk on the treadmill 3 times a week in 1 week and we think when we've gained 2 pounds. Anybody? Walk on a treadmill a couple times a week and we're like, why didn't we lose weight? It takes a little while. We read our Bible all week and then we yell at our kids the whole way to church. Don't you look at me like that. Don't y'all judging me right now. That's why I let my kids ride with Grace. Go ahead, ride with them. Or maybe we try to go a whole week without buying Starbucks. We save 30 bucks because we want to get out of debt. And our debt goes from 20,800 to 20,770. It doesn't look like it has made a big dent, right? But little things over a long period of time create phenomenal results. Because we're in a culture of instant gratification, we believe the lie that small decisions don't matter much in our day-to-day life. Here's the truth. Our life is the culmination of all the small decisions we make. Jeff Olson in the book, The Slight Edge, says it this way. He says, anytime you see what looks like a breakthrough, it's always the end result of a long series of little things done consistently over time. If you want results, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some time. I look amazing. Preach. But if I want the body to be able to sustain a lifestyle, a healthy lifestyle, I've got to do some work. I may not be able to get it all. I won't be fit by tomorrow. I may not hit 100 push-ups by tomorrow, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try. Grace might have to pick me up off the floor, but I'm going to try. But I guarantee you, I know myself, I know my body. I bet I get to 100 by 30 days. Oh, watch. I'm competitive, but it's going to take time. I can't get it all done right at the beginning. Galatians 6:9 says this, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So what do we do? How do we develop good habits? I think it's really simple. I'm going to make this real easy for y'all. Number one, just start. Just start. Do something to start. Think about your typical workday. You wake up, grab some coffee, have a little prayer time with Jesus, you and Jesus. Maybe sing a little worship. Like I don't know if you're like me. I do. Holy, overwhelming, everything, reckless love of God. Yes, Jesus. Get my worship time on in the morning. That's what I like to do. Maybe get the kids ready. Grab another cup of coffee. Take the kids to school. Go to work. Do the same tasks that you do every day. Same results. Grab some lunch. Maybe it's just whatever's convenient. Grab some McDonald's. Grab some Burger King, something. Because it's easy. Got to get back to work. We got to go. We got to go back to work. Go home. Eat whatever you can find. Get the kids bathed. Turn on Netflix, veg, and pass out. Maybe that's your day. See, our day is consistent with the habits that we formed. Every single one of those decisions were probably unconscious, but it's because of habits that we've developed. Every single one of those, we don't have to think about it anymore. We just do it. It's just a habit. We just do it. Much of what you do normally isn't a result of conscious choices, but of daily habits. Goals don't determine success. Systems determine success. And one of the best examples of this is found in the story of Daniel in the Old Testament. Everybody's kind of, y'all might have heard of Daniel in the lion's den. It's a real cool story. But essentially, Daniel is taken from his home. He's in a new land. And in chapter 6, something happens to him. And it's kind of a famous story. I'm going to breeze through it, but I think it's important to go over it. Let's look at the book of Daniel, chapter 6. And I think there's more to this story that I'd like us to see. Starting in verse 3, it says, Daniel soon proved himself more capable than all the other administrators and high officers. Because of Daniel's great ability, the king made plans to place him over the entire empire. That's a big deal. Then the other administrators and high officers began searching for some fault in the way Daniel was handling government affairs. But they couldn't find anything to criticize him or condemn. He was faithful, always responsible, and completely trustworthy. That's some great qualities. I hope God says it about me one day. That's what I want to be known as. So here's Daniel. He's in this new land, a new culture. That's disgusting. It's a disgusting culture. Trying to figure his way out, trying to understand things. And when his competition wanted to take him out because he was doing some amazing things, they told the king, they said, hey, let's put in this law. Let's put this law in that everybody has to bow down and worship you, knowing that Daniel knew the Ten Commandments and he was not going to bow down to anyone but God. They knew that was going to cause trouble. So they tried to find something to get him in trouble for. And the cost, the price of not doing this was to be thrown into the lion's den. To throw into a den full of real lions, y'all. This was real lions. But God saved him. God took care of him. And let me tell you why. If you read down a little bit, in verse 10, it says, but Daniel learned that the law had been signed. So they put the law in place. He went home and knelt down as usual. Uh-oh, there it is. In his upstairs room. With its windows open toward Jerusalem, he prayed 3 times a day. Here it is. Just as he had always done. Why was Daniel so calm when he went into the lion's den? Why was it that God shut the lion's mouth? Why was it that Daniel could easily stand up to anything that the king wanted to do? It's because he did something consistently over time. 3 times a day, he'd go and pray. With his face toward Jerusalem, he'd pray. Like he had always done. If you want to see breakthrough in your life, it's going to come from little decisions to pray, little decisions to eat right every single day. It's going to take some time. How do we do it? Make it easy. Make it easy. You want to lose weight? Walk around your neighborhood 4 times. Do it 4 times a week. Just walk around your neighborhood. Do it for a year. See what happens. You want to be closer to your spouse? Hold their hand when you don't have to. You want to be closer to God? Read a verse a day. You know what? Pray every day, but right whenever you wake up, say, God, I'm thankful for one thing. Be thankful for one thing. Yeah. Just wake up. God, I'm breathing today. Thank you. Yeah. God, I may not have a ton of food, but I got some food in my fridge. Yeah. God, I may not have a ton of food, but I got a roof. I might have a roof. It might be leaking, but I'm not totally wet. Be thankful. When we set our mind on an attitude of gratitude, God wants to bless us for it. Make it easy. Start somewhere. We have to start somewhere. Sometimes it's not starting a good habit that's the problem. It's stopping an old one. And that's number 2, just stop an old habit. And I know it's easier said than done, but I'm hoping I can give you some practical things. James 1:21 says this, so get rid of every filthy habit and all wicked conduct. Submit to God and accept the word that he plants in your hearts, which is able to save you. Look, nobody plans to live paycheck to paycheck stressing over money. Nobody plans to do that. Nobody plans to become overweight or live an unhealthy lifestyle. Nobody plans to be addicted and out of control. Nobody plans to live a mediocre life. It just happens. We rarely end up at the wrong place because of one decision. It happens. But we rarely end up in a place where we don't like because we just made one real bad decision. It's usually a bunch of little decisions that get us there. So how do we break a bad habit? Well, so starting a new habit was easy. Then to break a bad habit, let's make it difficult. Let's make it hard to do this habit. How do we do that? Watch out for triggers. Watch out for your triggers. Number 1, the first trigger is place. Be careful where you go. Let me tell you something. You don't overeat at the gym. You overeat at the buffet. We don't overspend when we're at home hanging out with our family off of our devices. We overspend when we go to the mall, when we get bored, when we go to Nordstrom, when we go to Claire's. We overspend when we put ourselves in that position. The second thing is time. You don't look at porn whenever you're at Starbucks during the day, but you would at night when you're in your bed all alone and you're bored. Timing's a big deal. Studies show that most people, successful people, start their day off early. I don't know what it is. I heard this whenever I was a teenager, and I always thought this was so stupid. But the older I get, the more I realize it's true. There's not a lot of good things that happen at night. I'll be honest. A lot of the stupid things I've done usually been at night, under darkness, because darkness doesn't like the light. See, because when you illuminate things, you see things for what they really are. But you can hide in the dark. And maybe you're hearing this in a physical term, but I'm also talking about spiritually. The things that you keep in the dark, the devil can use. But sometimes we have to bring things to the light and say, God, I need you to illuminate this so that you can deal with it. I need your spirit inside of me so that I can have the strength to do what you've called me to do. We have to illuminate the dark things in our lives. But timing is important. Time can be a trigger. I think our mood is a trigger. Our emotions. Never make a decision based on emotions. I like to use the HALT method. And I've shared this with you before. I never make a decision if I'm hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. Bad things happen. When you go to the grocery store and you are hungry, bad things happen. When you try to be calm, when you try to resolve conflict when you're angry, bad things happen. When you are with a coworker who's not your spouse, when you're lonely, when you've been at work for a long time, bad things happen. Uh-oh. Y'all got quiet on that one. And a lot of times, bad things happen whenever you're tired. You can't think clearly. Work hard. Work hard to avoid opportunities where you have to make decisions within this HALT moment. I think people can be a trigger. Hello. People are my trigger all the time. But studies indicate they tracked 12,000 people over a 32-year period. They tracked their behavioral habits. This study showed that the closer you are to someone, the more likely you are to share their habits. For example, and this I thought this one was incredibly fascinating. You are 57% more likely to become obese if you have a close friend who's obese. On the flip side, if one of your friends loses weight, the other friends are 66% more likely to lose weight. Who you are around affects you greatly. Proverbs 13:20 says this, walk closely with the wise and become wise. Associate with fools and get in trouble. If your closest friends love God, work out, eat healthy, spend wisely, you're more likely to follow suit. It would be difficult to live around drug addicts, unhealthy people, atheists, overspenders, and not fall into their lifestyle. That'd be tough. It's almost impossible to live the right life with the wrong friends. And I'm going to close with this. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, it says this. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. Never underestimate how God can start something special in your life. But it's going to take you understanding your why, starting, just start a good habit and stop an old one. Maybe for some people in here, you want to start a new habit, but it's going to start with a decision. See, I believe that the best decision you can make is one to follow Christ, one to follow Jesus. And maybe for some of you in here, that hasn't been a decision that you've made yet, and that's okay. But I want to ask you the most important question of your life. Have you been born again? Pastor Jacob, what does that even mean? Well, we believe that just like we have a physical birth, we also have a spiritual birth. And I believe that the Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 3, that unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, Pastor Jacob, how do I do that? How do I become born again? I believe it's as simple as ABC. A, we admit. We admit that we've made some mistakes. Can I tell you something? I have made some mistakes. I'm not perfect. But when I admit my mistakes, I take them from the dark and bring them into the light, and God can forgive them. That's what we admit. Admit. The Bible says we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all made some mistakes. But we have to admit them. We believe. We believe that Jesus is who he says he is, that he was God's son, that he came, died for our sins, paid a penalty for us, rose again on the third day so that we can have a relationship with his Father. And then see, we confess. We confess that Jesus is Lord. And let me tell you something. For me, this is the hardest one. See, because when I say Jesus is Lord, I'm saying, Jesus, you have the opportunity to look at anything in my life and adjust it. And when he does, I love him more for it.
Thanks again for joining us today. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church or how to get involved, visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.